Good morning. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You sent your word, and your word abides with us. Every day, Lord, we thank you for your word. Let it sink deeply into our hearts and minds now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture, the Gospel of John, 7th of the I Am statements, is lyrical and poetic. We're used to Jesus speaking in allegory, metaphors, and parables. But scholars refer to this particular passage as a mashal. A mashal being of Semitic origins, Hebraic and Aramaic, ancient origins of a form where it's an example for application in life. This special piece of scripture, being the 7th of the I Am, seems to be saying something significant, and it can be confusing, but you have to keep in mind that in the agricultural environment of Jesus' day, this was a common form. Vines were part of their lives, grapes and vines. It was not unlike Roxborough was at one time. If you weren't working in the vineyards, you were likely serving somebody who was, or providing the products they needed, or some way associated with vineyards. So they were quite familiar with this type of form and the idea of the vineyard. But here Jesus is referring to himself as the true vine, and God is the vine grower. He's the gardener. And all us people, we're the branches. I don't know about you, but it gets me thinking about vines and that there are lots of different types of vines. There are all kinds of vines, in fact. Some vines are twisted and gnarly, tangled, and interwoven. In fact, all vines will become twisted and mangled and interwoven if there's not an intervention or they aren't cared for. You can sometimes, in a vine that's gotten that way, you can't tell where one branch starts and another one ends. In fact, that's the way it is with most vines. There is mature growth in the vine, and there's a new growth in the vine. That's the way we want it at church: mature growth and young growth. Just like these young people that are leading worship today. New growth on the vine. Both old growth and new growth will be trimmed and pruned by the reading of the scripture to produce more and more fruit. Yet all the tangled branches come from the same vine. When I think about it, I think about honeysuckle vines and how sometimes a honeysuckle vine will wrap itself around a dogwood tree. If you take the dogwood tree later on, after that vine's been wrapped around it, you can see where the vine was. The vine has forevermore shaped the dogwood tree. In fact, this sort of entanglement is similar, and it made me think of the concept of a bonsai tree. Some of you may have heard of this practice that comes out of the East of shaping junipers and small fir trees into forms. They use wire. They put them in small pots and use wires in the pruning process. And over many years, these trees are shaped into forms that look old and like they've been in nature. And it takes years for someone to become skilled at this, someone to shape and form a bonsai tree that's beautiful and weathered and looks aged. An art form requires years of practice, knowledge of the particular type of tree, and a vision for what the tree will be in the future, and also a great deal of patience from the gardener. Pat and me, we were at the Eno Festival first year I was at Duke. And we were walking around and we came upon a bonsai display. The lady selling these trees had come all the way from Conyers, Georgia. She drove all the way up here to sell these trees that she'd nurtured for many years at this festival. As I was admiring them, I noticed that she was reading a Bible as she sat there at a table. It was a Korean Bible, written in her language. And that was how she was passing the time as people browsed her trees. I showed her my Bible because I was there to do what my professor had called a dislocated exegesis. That's a big word, exegesis, for Bible interpretation. And the idea was that I was to go to a place, any place of my choosing, to read Scripture in a place that wasn't normal, not a study or a church or a library, but some place that was not normal, so it would dislocate me. It would make me think differently, bring me to a different understanding, and then I was to go home and write a sermon for class. So we sat there, or I stood there, she sat. We looked, she told me about her scripture, I told her the scripture I was looking at, and so as we talked, I looked at the bonsai trees, but I didn't need a bonsai tree. I just didn't need a bonsai tree. In fact, as you know, I'll be moving soon. We got enough stuff as it is, but she was also selling some, I got it here somewhere, she was selling some rocks. I got my new robe on. I can't find the pockets. Some of y'all been wanting me to get a robe. Yeah, there it is. It's in my pocket. Let me get it. So I know how to work this thing here, but I know it's here somewhere. Yeah, there it is. She had these polished stones. She would polish them, and they were laying there. And this one says Spirit on it, so it would have some kind of Christian orientation on it. So I decided to buy one of those because, like I said, I didn't need a bonsai tree. And so I was reaching for my wallet, and she said, no. No, it's a gift. I said, no, well, hang on. You gotta take this. I mean, she said, no, it's a gift. I said, well, she said, I've already tithed. I said, I'm sorry, what are you saying? She said, yeah, I've already tithed my full offering. I said, well, but you don't know what you're going to sell. She said, doesn't matter. I said, well, are you saying that you've tithed based on what you're hoping to receive? She said, no, that's not it either. I said, well, what is it then? She says, I tithe based on what I'm expecting. I walked away amazed at this amazing witness that she provided. Jesus says that when we abide in him, as he abides in us, we will continue to grow and produce good fruit. Jesus' words to his followers then and to us today continue to shape, form, and prune and cleanse us as God would want it. What does it mean to abide? Are we talking about staying together in one place? Staying still? No, that can't be so, because we know that Jesus was always on the move. He preached that we should grow. He taught that we should grow. In fact, they're on the move now. That's one of the things that's not entirely obvious if you pick up the scripture at verse 1. In the scripture at the end of chapter 14 said, rise now, we must go. They were in the upper room. But now they are on the move. They are walking through the streets of Jerusalem, probably at night, on the way to Gethsemane, where Jesus will be arrested. It appears that abide has something to do with taking the message into our hearts and letting it abide there. Keeping it in our hearts and our heads and letting it guide us in everything that we do. What was Jesus' message? His message was to love God and love our neighbors, everybody, everywhere. One of the other lectionary scriptures that we didn't read, and are not reading today, in this fifth Easter Sunday, is Acts 8:26 through 40, which takes place after Jesus' death and resurrection. We find Philip happening upon an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot, in a procession of the queen, an important person. The eunuch is the treasurer for the queen. And the eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah, and when Philip sees this, having been brought to this place down this country road by the Holy Spirit, he's so moved he runs and climbs into the chariot and says, "Hey, do you understand what this scripture says?" And the Ethiopian says, "How can I understand it without someone to guide me?" And so Philip explains the gospel of Jesus Christ to him, tells him all about Jesus, and it changes the Ethiopian's life. He goes away proclaiming the gospel. He is so moved, he's been changed forever. And Philip finds himself in another place spreading the word of God. Now, this is my last Sunday here as your official intern pastor. And I want to thank you, every one of you, for the love that you've shown Pat and me. It is this love we have been abiding in, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, together. And though we will return to worship with our home church now, as we transition to Southern Alamance Cooperative Parish in Alamance County, we will carry with us your love, your prayers and good thoughts. And we will stay connected to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Each of us abiding in Christ will be connected through the one true vine, Jesus Christ. After Pat and I had wandered around the Eno Festival for a while, I kept thinking about that lady and the bonsai trees. I didn't need a bonsai tree, but with her witness, I got to thinking, well, maybe I'll get one. So we went back. When we got back to her display, sure enough, there were hardly any trees left. She had sold virtually all of them. She was still there reading her Bible, abiding in Christ and testifying to those who came her way. Once again, I marveled at her demonstration of faith, true evidence of God's blessings in her life. We've talked now, so I've talked quite a lot about this abiding. Abiding with Jesus Christ results in fruit. Without abiding, there is no fruit. The scripture speaks of Jesus' words cleansing us. The word Jesus abides in us and cleanses us in a way that the Father's care does through pruning. Instead of pruning, the King James Version uses the word purge. It says, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." This cleansing of the words of Jesus that abides in us is like the works of the Father. Psalm 51:7, verse 7 says it well. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Through abiding in Christ, the cleansing of the Word, and the care of the Father, we are washed whiter than snow. The Holy Spirit abides with us as we abide in Christ. We come to love each other as Christ loves us. Our ultimate purpose, our objective, is stated in the very last verse of this gospel passage. And with all this talk of abiding and fruit, you might miss it. Why it is so very important what Jesus is saying here, that he uses this application form, this such poetic language, as Christ is trying to prepare his disciples for his leaving, his death, his departure, and ultimately the resurrection. He is leaving, and the death will be traumatic. So he needs his disciples to understand that his words, the message he has given them, will abide with them and continue to cleanse them and create love in them. The Holy Spirit will help them, and the Father will tend to them like a caregiving gardener. The scripture ends with why this is so very important. The abiding is not the end result. The fruit is not the end result. The scripture gives us the reason all this is so important. It is for the glory of the Father, and that we become disciples of Jesus Christ. Even as we go our separate ways, like Philip and the Ethiopian, we go abiding in Christ. We go forth glorifying the Father as we go as disciples of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.